In 1995, to honor the 100th anniversary of the invention of cinema, the Vatican came out with a top 45 films list. And on this list is a famous movie starring Marlon Brando called On the Waterfront from 1954. This is the movie where Marlon Brando famously says, "I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender." That movie. Those that are old enough remember it. It was 54. But it was a great movie. There's a scene in that movie that I can't help but picture when I read this gospel. You see, the movie takes place in the shipyards in New England, where the boats come in each day, maybe somewhat unscheduled, and each day, the people who want to work as day laborers to unload the boat come down to the docks to see if maybe there is work that day. The foreman comes out, and there's this huge group of people gathering around, all hoping that they will be chosen. To be chosen on that day would mean that they would have work, they could go home, they could feed their families for another day. It was a little bit like winning the lottery. Sadly, there are those that were not chosen. So the foreman comes out and he knows, okay, guys, I got two boats. I need 20 guys. I'll take you and you and you and you and you and you. The rest of you, beat it. Get out of here. Nothing for you today. It's a rather kind of dynamic scene because you can see the people that get chosen. Yes, I've got to work today. Praise God. And they're excited. And you can see the dejection on the people that they're going to go home that night and they know they have to face their families and say, I got nothing. We'll try again tomorrow. I can't help but picture that scene when I read today's gospel because something similar is going on here. Here a landowner is going out and he says, all right, today I've got some things I need done in my vineyard. I need some help and I'll take you and you and you and you and you. You come into my vineyard and work. Sorry, rest of you, I don't have anything. Now, presumably, he would have done what any normal person would do, and he got all the workers that he needed. After all, they're all there at sunrise. He says, all right, here's how many I need, I'll take them. But this landowner does something strange. He goes back. It says he goes back at 9 o'clock, which, okay, maybe he found he needed more than he had originally intended, so he needed to get a few more. But then, that seems not to be it, because he goes back again at noon. And then he goes back again at 3 o'clock, and of all times, he goes back at 5 o'clock. There's only 1 hour of the workday left. What's he doing? Clearly, this landowner is not just any ordinary landowner. Rather, he's got something special, I think, that motivates him. Notice it cannot be that the landowner needed more workers. He probably got all the workers he technically needed at sunrise. And yet he goes back again and again and again. Why? Well, look at the response of the people that are there. When he says, why are you still here? They say, plainly, no one has hired us. They're desperate. Not to have work that day means no food. And even if maybe they could get hired for an hour, that would be at least something. So they're still there. And this landowner, it can't be that he needs them. It can only be out of compassion for their situation that he says, okay, you too, come into my vineyard. I'll pay you. An amazing landowner, but also amazing people. Any normal people, when they didn't get hired in the morning, would say, well, that's it. Nothing today. But these people, they're still there. They're still there, and at the end, it pays off. Now, whenever Jesus tells a parable, of course, he's doing it to have us read into it and see what is the message. He says that the kingdom of God is like this. God is ultimately a lot like this landowner. Because you see, God doesn't need us. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't even need the workers at the beginning of the day. But yet, God goes out again and again and again. Like the heart of this landowner that says, there might be more people there that need help. While it is true that God has no need of us, we have great need of God. We can be thankful that we have such a great landowner as God, that he will find time and time again opportunities to invite us to come into his vineyard. But Jesus' parables often have multiple kinds of meanings. And while on the one hand it's beautiful to look at this landowner and see the great heart of mercy that he has, there's also a kind of cautionary tale in there, one that might apply more to some of us here. What about these people who were fortunate enough to be chosen first, to win that lottery at sunrise at the beginning of the day, to know right away, I will have food for my family tonight. I was chosen. I get to work today. We see, of course, the great blessing of work, of labor. That's part of the message, that we get great dignity, our human dignity, through our work, contributing to God's vineyard, his creation. But notice what happens. Probably we can envision how happy they would be in the morning, but by evening, when it comes time to get the wage that they earned, the normal daily wage, they're not happy. In fact, they're mad. It says that they grumble against the landowner. What happened? Well, they started looking at other people. If they had just taken what was theirs and gone home, they would have been happy, ecstatic. Come home to their families. We've got food tonight. But instead, they're mad and upset. Notice what robbed them of their joy. It's envy, jealousy. All of a sudden, they start looking around at other people and saying, well, I was happy, but now look at what he's got. Maybe I'm not so happy. Maybe I'd rather have what he got. Hey, wait a minute, I got this, but he only worked an hour. I deserve more. All of a sudden, we see the great danger when we start to compare ourselves to others. Because the truth is, God has chosen each of you individually to work in his vineyard. And your story is your story, known to you and God alone. Your story is not somebody else's. So when we start to look at somebody else's life, how often do we find our joy taken away when we start to say, well, his life looks better than mine. She seems to be better off. She seems happier. I wish I had her life. I wish I had his life. I wish I had more money like that person. I wish I had more things like that person. I thought I had enough, but now look at how much they've got. And all of a sudden, our peace, our joy, evaporates into jealousy and envy. It's part of the message here in our parable as well. If you're looking and seeing that it seems like the grass on the other side of the fence is always greener, maybe it's time that we start watering our own lawn a little bit to take care of our own life. How is God calling me? What is the next step he's asking of me? You see, Jesus is telling this parable largely to the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, who see themselves as those people called first. They've been faithfully living according to the laws, the covenant, their whole life. And now, here comes Jesus, and it seems that he's calling sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, even Gentiles. And the Jews get mad. Instead of being happy that God's family is expanding and praising God's mercy, their joy is gone, and instead they're mad. Notice what's kind of implicit behind this madness, too. And see if we don't do this. You know, how often do we look at those of us who have been Catholic, maybe our whole lives or a long time? Do we look at that and say, gosh, I've had to live with these rules. I've tried to follow the rules of the church my whole life, tried to put up with this, and now these people convert on their deathbed, and they get the same thing as me? We're kind of like the people in the gospel, and notice what we're doing. Implicitly, we're saying, man, I had to suffer through being a Christian my whole life. It was miserable. I put up with all this stuff God wants me to do. And you mean someone can come in at the end of their life who had all that fun sinning and they get to get in? I wanted to have fun sinning, but no, I had to suffer being a Christian. Don't we do that? Maybe just a little bit implicitly? We're robbed of our joy. Shouldn't we instead be saying, I have been blessed that God chose me early. We celebrate this baptism today of little Henry. What a great blessing. God chooses him today, so early in his life. One day he'll be able to praise God knowing, gosh, I was given God's grace from the earliest moments of my life. Praise God. Pray that we could all have that kind of thankfulness whenever God has called us. Maybe you relate more with those ones called at the last hour. You know what it's like to be stuck in sin and death, and God swoops in and pulls you out at the last minute, seemingly. I think the truth is all of us are a little bit, some 11th hour, some first hour at various times in our life. We come and go. Our faith sometimes is stronger at other times than other. Today, no matter when God called you, each of you is here today because God came out and said, I want you and you and you and you and you. You, come work in my vineyard. It doesn't matter when God called you. Our response has got to be the same no matter what. Gratitude. A great heart of gratitude that God has called us. Our response then is to go into the vineyard with great joy, knowing that God will indeed not just pay a wage that is just, but he is merciful. We pray that we will all be together in heaven. Until then, our mission is clear, thankfully, to be humble workers in the vineyard of the Lord.